that episode actually had a number of pieces of humor in it that that were very subtle. And
what the salami? Did you not catch that? And Arya tells the Hound, "He killed Lami."
Oh yes, what's the
fuck salami?
Yeah. When you were just saying that, I thought you were saying
what the fuck salami.
I was thinking it's like fuck salami. I'm like, I don't remember fuck salami.
No, he's talking about Lami.
What the fuck salami? Yeah.
Welcome to Nerd Burger. It's a podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Craig.
And here we are. Episode 56.
Yeah.
No significance to that number.
No, it's just a number.
It's just a number.
We don't have anything cute attached to it.
No. And pretty much from this point forward, that's what they all are. So we get to 100, maybe.
69.
Episode 100?
Yeah. Ask me how I am.
Oh, boy. How are you, Craig?
Glad you asked. Ooh. I live in a city where they do like 5K, 10K kind of run walkathons every year.
I got the email warning me about that this morning, and it didn't have a time, mm-hmm. and I thought, I wonder if that'll inconvenience Craig.
And they run every stinking one of them on the same route right past my apartment every stinking time, and it becomes a complete crap fest for traffic because you got all these intersections you can't get through. People have to turn around, and then the intersections where things are moving, you get the a-holes that decide they're going to pull into the intersection, even though clearly they're not going to get through the intersection by the time the light changes. Now they're stuck in the intersection blocking cross traffic. And then on the rare occasion when I don't have to go out somewhere and I don't care that the traffic is all screwed up in front of my apartment, that's the weekend that some shitty band sets up shop outside my window and plays the same crappy 9 songs over and over again for 2.5 hours because the walkers and runners need something to listen to. Walkers and runners can bring their damn iPods. They do not need to hear your crappy rendition of Take Me to the River, and I sure as fuck don't need to hear it 5 times in 2.5 hours.
Tell us how you're
And that tough. Happened last year. Take Me to the River 5 times. Bad. I like that song. They ruined it for me.
Yeah, can't listen to it ever again.
Huh? No.
Hi, Andy.
We have a guest.
Lucky me.
I feel like I'm going to pass out. I'm all flush. Hi, Andy.
Craig, why don't you calm down and have a cream soda?
I will.
Hi, Andy.
Hi,
how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Do you have any trouble getting out of your house and over here?
Not due to any type of pedestrian traffic.
That's good. But you did have some trouble.
Well, things didn't flow quite as smoothly as I would have liked, but overall it was fine.
Okay. And do you want to elaborate on that or no?
Just, sometimes Starbucks gets me my drink in 30 seconds. Sometimes it takes a full minute. So.
Wow.
Well, you should have come over to the Starbucks by my place, and you could have made that an even bigger screw job. I mean, wow.
The Starbucks that used to be a crystal?
Crystal, yeah.
Crystal, man.
So, anyway.
They should.
I'm over it.
They should have police.
I took a sip of water.
Managing the traffic
in
your apartment.
They had one policeman out there. It was awesome.
Or maybe you should invest in a water balloon slingshot.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
One of those giant windows open that you've got there. And just
I don't want to talk about it anymore. Stop. Now, see, I've kind of started to describe some things about where I live, and now you're talking about giant windows.
Oh, because there's...
You know what?
One place in the entire
don't do it. Don't
state
do
of
it,
Georgia
man.
That if has somebody, huge windows in it.
If one of our listeners manages to figure out where I live from the information that's been provided on this podcast.
One of our listeners who doesn't already know where you
live. Right, and they come over to my house and murder me, then at least I don't have to listen to that crappy band ever again.
If one of your listeners does that, I will sincerely apologize to you.
Good. Anyway, do we have news and stuff?
Yeah.
This just in, Craig screwed up last week. It's Michael Chiklis, not David.
Did you say David Chiklis?
Yeah, multiple times.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, moving on.
Okay.
What do you got, Andy?
Oh, I brought some news.
Hey!
That's some exciting news.
Go yeah. for it.
Andy's got material.
Ooh, printouts.
Yeah.
He's picking up okay, your analog I will side give, I will now give that you do everything on the computer.
Okay, again. funny news.
Okay.
Funny news.
Well, items. We'll be the judge, but go ahead.
This is from...
it's already funny.
This is from the local.no. This is Norway's English news translated website.
Okay. From Norway.
Okay.
Norway man finds adult toy in cod's stomach. Freeland 64 has spent his spare time fishing in the waters around his hometown of, don't ask me to pronounce it, Western Norway, for as long as he can remember, but this is the first time he's heard of a fish swallowing discarded sex aids. I was astonished. It was totally unexpected. I've never seen anything like this before. His theory is that the cod, which weighs upwards of 5 kilograms, mistook the vibrator for a tasty cephalopod. Fish eat all kinds of different things, he told the local, and the dildo looks like what the fish eat. We have a kind of multicolored octopus in Norway. Maybe the cod thought this was one of these and ate it. Nonetheless, he told the Don't Ask Me to Pronounce It newspaper that it was
amazing. I'm going to Google up Don't Ask Me to Pronounce It Norway.
That it was amazing that such an unusual object was even there for the fish to swallow. He speculated that the machine, which still had a small motor at one end, had been tossed off a boat, perhaps by a frustrated woman on a cruise in the Barents Sea. The chances of winning the lottery are probably greater.
But was
there's a picture.
Is it pink or purple?
It's orange.
Whoa.
Check that out.
Oh, and it's got the extra part to go in the oh. Ooh.
Whoa, it's got the little the other toucher placer. Mm-hmm.
No, that's not the other toucher placer. That's the top toucher place. That's the toucher.
Yeah.
That's the hat for the little man in the boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not for the it's not for the other.
It's not a shocker.
That's right.
Guess what? I Googled Don't Ask Me to Pronounce It Norway.
And here's the cod that the fish was found at.
Oh, that's a nice cod there.
I Googled Don't Ask Me to Pronounce It Norway and I got a hit.
One?
All of
just one?
somebody hashtagged something, Don't Ask Me to Pronounce It. That's the hit. Anyway.
You beat Google.
Yeah, I thought that was rather funny. I saw that this week. I thought I would bring it to share with you guys.
Do you have anything else?
I have an interesting science-y news item.
Ooh, science.
It's actually old, but I just saw it today, so I thought it was interesting.
Okay, let's talk science.
Craig and I are related.
Of course we are.
Everybody is. Adam and Eve, duh.
Craig and I are even more related.
Okay.
What?
If you have blue eyes, you may be related to every other blue-eyed person in the world.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yep.
Yes, I have blue eyes. They're not blue, but they're blue.
You'll be happy to know that I've never noticed that.
Every person with blue eyes descends from just one, quote, founder, an ancestor whose genes mutated 6 to 10,000 years ago. Before that, everyone had brown eyes.
Deep. And
congratulations.
Deep, and they go deep on, glances they, into
they,
my eyes.
They go on to discuss deep. that the first person who did have this mutated gene still would have had brown eyes because...
I won, you blink first.
It's a recessive gene.
Sure.
So only after this person had procreated
once they had
multiples for some of his eventual offspring, however many generations down, to finally couple up. And now all of a sudden here comes a baby with blue eyes and everyone would be like, what the...
It's a wonder it didn't get killed.
So they were carriers.
Demon seed!
A lot of carriers.
They were carriers of blue eyes. Before they presented.
So like an Estonian.
Or, demon seed, or like the savior.
Yeah.
The blue-eyed child was prophesied. It shall lead us into a fine new age of enlightenment.
It's very interesting. So I thought I would share that.
So that's all kind of, that's the end of your Scandinavian news?
That's the end of my Scandinavian news.
Your blue-eyed Scandinavian news.
And I did learn a piece of... we were talking about pronunciations earlier. I did learn an interesting pronunciation clarification actually yesterday.
No, what did I screw up now?
No, it wasn't you.
Oh, what did Mike screw up?
The word crevasse is actually not for pretentious douchebags. It actually is distinctively different from crevice. Crevice is in stone and a crevasse is in ice. I was not aware of that. I thought it was just people being douchey.
Oh.
Like saying encyclopedia and faces.
Faces.
Yeah.
Some kind of weird sexual thing?
No, feces is spelled with that weird A-E-A-A-E thing.
Oh, is it?
Or yeah, can be.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, can be.
Just like encyclopedia.
Oh, yes, where they with the
A-E combo letter thing.
Whatever that thing's called. Yeah.
Look it up, kids.
Which has a name that we don't know.
Yes. Ted mentions it on How I Met Your Mother when he's talking about encyclopedia.
Yeah, when he's being douchey know-it-all, sophisticated society guy.
Yeah. Do you want to hear some more science news?
Sure. Yes.
Should we try this again this week?
Okay.
I will have you know that none of the science news that I brought to you came from a popular scientific magazine.
Oh, thank you.
Very good.
I did that in honor of you.
Losing sleep could kill brain cells.
Really?
Yes.
Do tell.
Like I told you last week. Let me pull up the specifics here. While previous studies have shown cognitive performance declines after sleep loss, the latest research challenges the long-held notion that a sleep debt can be recovered by make-up rest. It's not the case, apparently. Researchers at the University of Pennsylvania and collaborators at Peking University have found extended periods of wakefulness actually kill some neurons and cause damage to others. They did a study with mice. Surprise. And they kept some of the mice awake for longer periods of time, and some of the mice awake during their normal sleeping periods, like completely through the whole thing. And then they checked in on, looked at all the cells, and they found that there's a protein that they call SIRT3, SIRT3, that protects.
Remember that there's going to be a quiz later.
Yes, it protects wake active neurons, and protects the wake active neurons from damage amongst the mice who were kept from sleeping. And that protein gets all effed up and folds over on itself and won't protect the neurons anymore from whatever it is that it protects against. So
it goes, that's it, I give up.
I'm done. Yeah.
So what did they do to keep the mice awake?
They gave them other mice who already were rested to play with and little mice toys and treats.
Okay.
That's what it, I mean, they didn't phrase it that way, but that's what they did.
Well, I was curious if it was something that caused them stress, you know, like zapping them with electric shocks so that they don't fall asleep. Then you don't really know that it's the non-sleep that is causing
them. No, they gave them other things that they would normally get during their waking hours.
Gotcha. And set them up in front of a World of Warcraft and say, just keep going.
So, Mike, make sure you get plenty of sleep.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'll kill brain cells.
Everything kills brain cells.
You'll fold your proteins.
Is that the end of the story?
That's the gist of it. And people will link to it and you can look up more information.
Congratulations.
Smartass.
What? I'm celebrating the fact that you got through your news without being rudely interrupted.
What do you got that I can interrupt now?
Goonies sequel confirmed by director Richard Donner.
Yep.
You heard about this?
I heard of it, yes. I didn't look into it in a great deal.
Donner told TMZ that he hoped to bring back all of the stars in the original film for the follow-up.
Corey Feldman's got nothing better to do.
Yeah. Isn't he dead? That's for sure.
Corey Feldman? No, Corey Haim is dead.
I never remember which one of the Coreys died.
No, but Sean Astin, he's not a huge deal, but he's kind of a big deal.
He's busy-ish. He bounces back and forth between big movies and indie stuff. And
Josh Brolin, also.
He's got nothing to do.
No, he does stuff. He's been in stuff.
Wasn't he just in that terrible movie with the chick from Titanic?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to Google that up. Terrible movie with chick from Titanic.
It'll be the number one hit.
Let's see, who else? What about the guy?
Labor Day
what about
or
the guy,
something like that?
What about the guy who played Data?
They don't Spiner. Mention him.
Brent Spiner.
What?
No. Data from the Goonies. Though.
Oh.
the Eastern Asian American.
He also played Short Round.
Yes.
Yeah. He was in those two movies and then never and ever again.
I never saw the
Goonies. Anything.
Chock full of Asian stereotypes.
Yeah. No booby traps.
Everyone yell when Data is falling.
They mention Jeff Cohen.
Jeff Cohen.
Who played Chunk.
Oh.
Who's like an entertainment lawyer? Yeah.
Is he going to come back and do the trouble shuffle?
Let's hope so. I think he's skinny now.
Oh.
Which would be
interesting. He's got
time
to bulk
up. He's got time to bulk up. Pull a Robert De Niro. So there you go. That's happening.
Well, here's hoping it doesn't suck.
Follow-up story.
Okay.
Another follow-up story.
Not another cat story.
So, no, it's not.
Okay.
So, first of all, Apple legitimized selfies by creating a category in the App Store. Then we discovered that selfies cause head lice because everybody's putting their head together to take the picture.
They don't cause head lice. They, well, spread,
they spread head lice. Right, right. Now, selfie addiction may cause mental illness.
Wrong.
They've come up with another condition.
Mentally ill take selfies.
Exactly.
Not the other way around.
That's how I read this article.
It's the opposite causation.
Danny Bowman, a man diagnosed with body dysmorphic disorder, explained that he grew suicidal due to his addiction to taking selfies. Bowman shared that he would shoot about 200 pictures a day in an attempt to take the perfect selfie of himself.
No.
He also said that he would spend up to 10 hours a day taking those selfies. He attempted suicide by taking an overdose of drugs when he couldn't take what he felt to be the perfect one.
You know what? What have
Dr. happened? David Veal expressed that taking too many selfies may cause mental illness, including body dysmorphic disorder.
Ain't wrong. If he was doing this 30 years ago and didn't have a phone and a camera that he could take a selfie on and try to check, he would just be the guy who's running and looking in the mirror. Mm-hmm. 200 times.
He already has body dysmorphic disorder.
He would have attempted suicide anyway.
Right.
He just would have found another way for his anxiety over the whole thing to manifest.
Exactly.
He would have asked people 200 times a day, how do I look?
Mm-hmm.
He would have looked at himself in the mirror 200 times a mm-hmm. day. He would have taken Polaroids of himself 200 times a day.
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
So, Dr. David Veal, you
For the record, I have a second degree in psychology, so mm-hmm. take that.
I don't need a degree in psychology.
All right, so now for
guy's
some
already messed up.
Serious news.
Uh-oh.
Heartbleed.
Yes. XKCD did a very nice comic workup of Heartbleed.
Yeah?
To explain it to the masses.
Oh, that's good. Well, I don't have that. I just have a list of, you know, do you need to change your password or not?
Oh, yeah.
Do you use Facebook? Change your password. Do you use Instagram? Change your password. Do you use Pinterest or Tumblr?
Yes.
Change your password.
Did.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you use anything on Google or Gmail? Change your effing password now.
I don't
now.
Know what you're talking Dude. About. Try to back up.
You don't know about Heartbleed?
No.
Ah.
Okay, IT guy, explain.
You didn't actually
tell.
You didn't actually start the story. You gave me the headline.
Well, the important thing is change your effing passwords.
Okay.
Whenever you
now we'll tell you why.
You know how when you go to web pages and you've got an HTTPS
and a little lock
mm-hmm. that indicates that it's a
secure
connection,
right?
So that utilizes a particular service so that the data that you're transmitting between you and the server is secure and not being snooped on by anybody else.
Open SSL?
This is a pretty commonly used piece of software in order to do this. They discovered a nasty, nasty bug in it that would allow somebody to see absolutely everything that passed through there. Unencoded passwords, usernames, credit card numbers, password hints and answers, the whole bit. A number of web pages, Tumblr, Facebook as an example, utilized this particular form of SSL that was subject to this bug. Other websites like Amazon and most of your big banks did not use it.
Mm-hmm.
So those accounts don't have to be changed. But
okay, so the places where I did my money things, I'm right. probably okay.
Right.
But
the worst,
because I don't put any of that kind
the
of
the worst
crap
part
on
about it was
Pinterest
that,
or Facebook
that this particular hack wasn't exactly a hack. So there's no trace of it happening. So if anybody was ever compromised, there would be no record of it on the server that it had compromised itself. In
Yikes.
Any way.
Well, that's no good.
So that's none of these people know how extensive it could be because there's no evidence that gets left behind as this has been done.
Yahoo, any Yahoo services, including
Yahoo,
mail.
Yahoo already is unsecure.
Amazon, you're okay.
Amazon's okay.
Amazon Web Services, however, you need to change your password.
But like Chase and Citibank,
right?
And
all
Wells
the banks,
Fargo and all the big
Nordstrom,
banks were,
PayPal, Target. Oddly, Target's okay. Walmart.
I think Target after their last pre-Christmas debacle.
Bank of America, Barclays, Capital One, Chase, Citigroup, E-Trade, Fidelity, PNC, Schwab, Scottrade, TD Ameritrade, TD Bank, T. Rowe Price, U.S. Bank, Vanguard, Wells Fargo, all okay.
Yeah.
Apple, any Apple services, you're okay. Microsoft services, you're okay.
They use different versions.
Flickr, of... change your password. Minecraft, kids. Daniel, change your password.
I changed my Minecraft password already.
Netflix, SoundCloud, YouTube, change your password.
Well, YouTube ties into Google, yeah. So yeah.
They listed it separately, though. So there you go.
And password changed.
Wow. Was that what you were doing?
Yep.
For Facebook?
No, I don't care about that. Okay. Somebody wants to go on there on Facebook and see my 20 posts that I've put up there since I've had my account.
Change your email
password? It's been more than that. It's been maybe 70. Yeah, I changed my email.
I was half looking at it as the final nail in the coffin to finally shut down Facebook, which I'm just not grateful to do.
Okay, what else news you got there, Mikey?
Dogs align with Earth's magnetic field when pooping.
You know, I've seen that. Dog squats and then it just suddenly hovers in place. I saw it hover. It like lifted up off the ground and went and landed right. Yeah. No. Was that a dream? I mean, maybe that was a dream.
When dogs squat to poop, they spontaneously align their body axis with respect to the Earth's magnetic field, researchers found. However, they do not yet know why this habit is useful to them or what it means.
Okay, Mike, what I want you to do is next time you take Danny out,
your lovely dog. Attention
you,
now.
No, well, pay attention to see if it happens a few times. And then sometime when he's like right mid poop, pick him up and just take him by the front legs and just shift him 90 degrees and see if he goes back.
I'm trying to think
to where he was.
Try to confuse him.
When I first read that article, I started looking at, because I've got two dogs, looking at when they go to the bathroom in the
backyard.
You
didn't notice it?
And I don't notice that they always, I mean, because presumably the magnetic field is going to be roughly the same all the time. So in my backyard, I should expect to see the dogs always pointing in the same direction when they poop.
Quote, dogs prefer to excrete with the body being aligned along the north-south axis under calm magnetic field conditions. However, when the MF conditions were unstable, their directional behavior was absent. If, for example, there was a solar flare and the magnetic field became unstable, dogs would get confused or at least would start to poop in random directions.
So if I ever see my dog pooping and it's not facing north then north, I know south. That there's sunspots.
Yes.
Okay.
Or flares.
All right.
I think. Now, it's too bad we can't, like, read dogs' minds and have, you know, like he gets out there and he's like, it's a calm magnetic field day. Have a nice relaxing north-south poop. And then the other day he goes out there and he's like, ah, jeez.
I don't know which way to face.
His magnets I guess are all
I'll
over
just
the place.
Poop this way. Wow.
Now, continuing with the...
Does Denny do a spin?
I haven't paid attention since I read the article.
Does he do a spin when he poops? One of our dogs spins and the other one does not, where they go in and then she does like a little three-quarter turn as she's squatting.
He'll start to poop and then he'll kind of inch forward as he's pooping.
No, he doesn't
go in a circle.
Okay, we have one that she goes and she spins in place like about a three-quarter turn as she's dropping her butt to the ground to get into her position, but the other one doesn't. The other one just stops and goes.
Maybe her magnetic field sensors are broken.
There's a lot
compromised.
There's a lot of things on this dog that are broken, I think. But we love her anyway.
Okay, continuing with the pet theme here.
Is it more poop news?
No, it's more cat news.
Worse!
Yeah. Over the years, people have surrendered cats and dogs to Scottsville Veterinary Hospital and pet adoptions for all sorts of reasons. This is in Rochester, New York. There have been clawsy kittens and bitey cats, puppies that chew nonstop, and dogs that won't stop barking. But Lenny the cat may have the most novel backstory of them all. He was surrendered due to excessive flatulence. Yes, Lenny the black and white domestic shorthair stray was rescued from a Rochester park in February, nursed back to health at Scottsville, adopted out last month, and within 2 days returned to the shelter because, quote, he farts all the time, according to the intake papers filed by his two-day owner.
Wouldn't those be the output papers?
Maybe they should feed him Activia.
Somebody, quick, call, what's her name?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Thank you.
Jamie Lee Curtis's poop food.
Indeed, the short-time owner suggested the frequency and duration of Lenny's noxious emissions might make him much better suited for an outdoor life. Quote, but since he's been back here, there haven't been any problems, said Jessica Giel, Scottsville's adoptions director. Clean living and a healthy diet may be the reason for that, but we did still nickname him Smelly Cat.
Smelly Cat. smelly cat.
Okay.
What are they feeding you? Everybody! Smelly cat, smelly cat, it's not your fault.
That solves the problem, too.
Oh. So there you go.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, Lenny has been adopted by a new family.
Yeah, we'll see. So,
speaking of animals,
uh oh,
here's something fun. I'm gonna hold this up to the mic.
Oh, good. This old, we didn't test this, so I'm sure it'll go well.
Mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones theme. Uh-huh. You can see the video.
Goats.
Animal. It's goats bleeding. Okay. Okay. We get the gist. Bum bum ba-da-dum, bum ba-da-dum,
that
bum,
cracked ba-da-dum. Me up this morning when I saw it. Game of goats. All you have to do is go to YouTube. Type in Game of Goats. You will get that video. It's about a minute and a half, minute and a quarter long.
Are you rolling back into Game of Thrones?
Oh God, yes.
Back on board.
Oh yes.
I'm gonna mime something, and you can describe it and tell me if you recognize it.
It was the interesting little piece.
Laughed
of humor.
Out loud, really hard. Yes. Probably the hardest I've ever laughed at that show.
Yes.
Mike, do you mind a spoiler?
No, go ahead.
Okay, spoilers, everybody. Game of Thrones. Spoilers for the books and for the show. There's a character who is a giant douchebag who gets called out for his douchebagginess and gets his right hand chopped off and lives and continues on in the story. And then because his family's really rich, they give him a gold hand. And they have the scene where he spends time strapping this thing on, and he's talking to his twin sister who he has incestuous relationships with.
Oh, of course.
Yes. And children. And then one of the servant-y type characters, the guy that pops up constantly, whose name I don't know, shows up to talk to Cersei.
Are you thinking Varys?
Was it Varys who showed up there? Bald. I thought it was somebody else.
Bald?
Who knows? Regardless, somebody shows up, because I lost track of it, because I was watching the background. In the foreground is Cersei talking to the person, and in the background is Jaime with his hand, and he's got his elbow resting on the table, and he's just waving at the guy going...
big gold hand.
Like this very slow 10-degree wave with this blank look on his face.
Like, I have a hand.
It's made of gold. It's not nearly as fancy as I thought it would be. Yeah,
that episode actually had a number of pieces of humor in it that were very subtle. And
what the fuck, salami? Did you not catch that? And Arya tells the Hound, he killed Lami.
Oh, yes. What's
the fuck, salami?
Yeah. When you were just saying that, I thought you were saying,
what the fuck, salami?
I was thinking, it's like, fuck, salami. I'm like, I don't remember fuck, salami.
No, he's talking about Lami.
What the fuck, salami? Yeah.
Princess wants a pony.
Arya has developed. We're still in spoiler mode, right?
Yeah.
Okay. She develops quite a little badass edge to her in that episode, which I'm then very
impressed
with. By
murdering people. She's 10.
But not just murdering, but murdering them slowly.
Yeah.
Twice. It was just like, and she's just like doing it really slow and
very
just
deliberately
savoring the moment.
Well, she's had her little kill list that she's been chanting for 3 seasons. This is a 10-year-old girl who goes to bed every night reciting the names of the people she's going to kill over and over. She's been doing that,
Jaqen who told her that, wasn't it?
The faceless man, yeah. Jaqen
Hagar. Hagar, however it's pronounced.
Hodor.
Hodor.
That's a different guy. Hodor. Big dude that only says Hodor. Yeah. His name is Hodor. All he ever says is Hodor.
He's kind of part giant, I think they have indicated.
So anyway, Game of Thrones is rocking. That's one of the shows that I listen to the opening credits, watch the opening credits every time.
Yes.
Because it's a great theme.
It's a super song. The song is just fantastic, and the opening sequence itself, the graphics are very, very neat.
Very cool, and it changes.
Yeah. Oh, because it's not the same.
The graphic takes you around the continent.
I don't know because I don't watch it.
I'm just saying, okay. The graphic takes you around the continent to all the different places that are important for that episode.
Mm-hmm.
So they put you in a spatial relationship. You understand where everybody is relative to everybody else.
Because yeah, there's like...
They travel
like
to different cities.
There's like half a dozen different plot lines all going along at the same time. There's some nearly 30 main characters in the whole show. So it's
ridiculous.
But
I actually remember these characters' names.
Some of
most
them.
Most of yeah. them. Yeah. I'd say I remember about 75% of them.
Yeah,
there's the real minor...
Screen Junkies did a Game of Thrones trailer...
Yeah, I saw that.
And they were like,
starring the 10 characters that you know their names,
and then all
the 50 characters you don't. And then it's just screenshots of all these people with like blurbs saying, not sure.
Nope,
no.
Nope,
I thought he was dead. Who's that guy? No clue.
You can link that. Screen Junkies is a YouTube channel. And they always do honest trailers series for both TVs and movies.
On the flip side, for networks that aren't doing well in the ratings. Did you hear what NBC is doing? NBC wants you to pitch your sitcom ideas.
Oh, God. So kind of like a Project Dumblight.
No, they're giving writers the opportunity to just, you know, out of the blue, come in and throw a pilot.
The sweet smell of desperation.
Screenplay at them, or teleplay. And see if they can get a, you know.
Quick, let's come up with an idea right now on the show and then email NBC. Go.
Interior, day. A lavender room. Three middle-aged men sit around a table. A dog farts in the corner.
Don't forget the dick fingers around the man.
Yes. Well, that'd be capitalized, first of all.
Yes.
Whenever you introduce a new character, the character's name is capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
The screenplay thing. Anyway, no, I'm not writing a, trying to write something that I can put on the worst of the networks.
Ouch.
They're crap in the ratings. They're terrible. And yeah. NBC's in the toilet.
The
right
bottom.
Now. Yep. So, yeah, they have a photo of the, I don't remember what was the show called. The one. That's how memorable it was, but it was about an animal hospital and it co-starred a little capuchin monkey as the comic foil.
Does my DVR channel get anything on NBC? I can't think of anything.
I'm trying to think of what I get that's on broadcast on the standard broadcast channels that I
got an idea for a sitcom. NBC wants
Big,
to hear
well,
from
Big
you.
Bang Theory,
CBS.
Well, I know, but it's, yeah. I'm just thinking about anything on the normal on the Big Four broadcast.
We are taking a bold alternative approach, and what we hope will uncover original comedy minds who are looking for a way to get into the television business. A bold alternative approach. Translation, we ain't got shit.
Yeah.
We are all out of ideas. All the good showrunners went to the good networks.
Mm-hmm. And the cable networks.
Yes, and they went to AMC and
FX
and HBO and Showtime and Stars.
Ooh, FX.
Mm-hmm.
Next week.
Mm-hmm.
Fargo.
Oh,
jeez. That looks like it's going to be good.
Oh, speaking of...
Are you going to watch it? You going to watch it?
I'll probably check it out.
I may look at it.
It's got Billy Bob, I mean, and the Hobbit, Bilbo / Watson / Jim from the British Office, whose name was something else.
I don't know.
Because I didn't watch it. He's
know.
Been in everything. Is in everything now.
Benedict?
No.
Who? I don't know. One of those
Martin
British
Freeman.
Guys. Martin Freeman. Okay.
Oh, Arthur Dent. He's Arthur Dent.
That's right.
Sorry. Speaking of movies that were made into TV shows.
He's got uber nerd actor cred. Go ahead.
Speaking of movies that have been made into TV shows, I've been watching, believe it or not, From Dusk Till Dawn, the television series, which nobody has ever heard of because it's on the El Rey network.
I have heard.
Nobody has ever heard of because it's only available in some markets. It's Robert Rodriguez's own network.
Oh.
So he is making a TV show based on his movie that he has, the TV show he has written and directed.
I have heard of it.
It's really good.
Oh,
it's really good.
Do we get the El Rey network on Comcast?
Yes, we do.
I don't know if I get it on.
I'm halfway through the season.
I'm on DirecTV. I don't know.
It's excellent.
Is it on demand?
You'd have to look. Okay. I've been recording it. You'd have to look. But given that there's not a lot of other original programming on the El Rey network, you can probably find repeats easily enough. It is the entire movie From Dusk Till Dawn stretched out into a 10 or 12 episode series.
But it's
with
the
all
same...
sorts, same basic characters with some additional ones thrown in. There's some other stuff going on in the background.
It's the same plot where the kidnapping the
yes,
family.
Yes. And... there have been no vampires so far. That's not true. But they haven't got, they just, there's been little.
I lied.
It was poorly. I lied. I made it up. The point, they haven't gotten to the bar.
I was watching the show. No, I'm not.
They haven't. This last episode, they just finally got to the bar where everything goes to hell. So this, most of the show has been just them on the run, you know, the Gecko brothers and the family that they kidnap. And there's been little glimpses of the potential that the vampire thing's going to happen because they've expanded the story. But it's got Robert Patrick and Don Johnson in it. And Walder Vildarama. That's his name, right?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure I didn't screw that one up, too.
Good day. I said good day.
No, he's not like that. Anymore.
Hey, Kelso and Jackie are getting married in real life. And she's got a bun in the oven. Or so I heard.
Whatever.
How about that?
Big whoop. I care so little about celebrity
relationships. They ended up together, finally.
Aww. My nipples are so hard.
You have to leave. Hey, you know how I've talked about here and there, how when you put something for free on the internet... or when something gets pirated on the internet, it can actually generate more sales of the thing.
Mm-hmm. Like HBO does with Game of Thrones. Where hey, go ahead and pirate
they're
our
like,
show.
Yeah, go ahead and pirate it. Because
Neil Gaiman actually has no problem with his books being pirated because it almost always leads to more book sales, more legitimate book sales.
Right, because they get out, people go out there, they find the thing, they like the thing, they decide they want to own the thing, mm-hmm. and they buy it, or they tell other people about it, and those people buy it because they don't want to pirate it, but they've heard it's good. All that kind of fun stuff. Well, guess what? A little while back, the Monty Python guys got together and realized, hey, look, there's all these really crappy videos of our old Monty Python show stuff, like from the 70s, all over YouTube, and they're terrible copies. They're, you know, eighth generation videotapes put onto DVDs, uploaded, or they're actual camera shots of the screen of the television.
I hate those.
Kind of wavering with horrible sound quality. And they said, hey, what should we do? We should make a little YouTube channel and put up nicely cleaned up, mastered.
Before the YouTube channel, they had just Monty Python Online, which is their webpage that you could just go and watch anything you wanted for free.
So they went up there and we're going to play the game. In percentage points, how much do you think their DVD sales went up after they did this? As in, for example, their DVD sales increased 100%, which is to say they doubled.
Right.
200%. They tripled.
Yep.
Mike?
Are we doing Andy? This Price of Right style?
Sure.
Or is it closest?
Closest without going over.
Closest without going over. Okay, guest, go first.
I'll say 575%.
575%.
576%.
Douche. Mike is closest. 23,000%.
Wow! Now, had I not had the limit of the going over in the Price is Right thing, I would have said 1,200.
Right. And you would have been you would have won, and you would have still been really far off. Yeah, they found 23,000%.
Jeez.
Which basically, to my mind, equates to, oh, we've just introduced Monty Python to a whole new generation of people because the show is 50 years old. And I went looking around the website, their YouTube channel, and I found what we mistakenly referred to as the Belgian tourist.
Uh-oh.
With the line from my shirt.
From last week's
from
episode.
From last week's episode. It's not Belgian tourist. It's the Hungarian phrase book sketch. starring John Cleese as the Hungarian who's got a phrase book and he's at the tobacconist.
Yep, and Eric Idle was the one who wrote the dictionary.
Okay.
As the skit goes on, they go into a courtroom.
Okay, but that's later. I just want to play this portion of it.
I will not buy this record. It is scratched. Sorry? I will not buy this record. It is scratched.
No. This tobacconist's. I will not buy this tobacconist. It is scratch.
No. Tobacco. Cigarettes.
Yeah. Cigarette. My hovercraft is full of eels. My hovercraft is full of eels.
Matches.
Huh? Do you want? Do you want to come back to my place, bouncy?
I don't think you're using that right.
You great poof.
I mean, 66, please.
If I said you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me? I am no longer infected.
Costs.
The other guy takes the book.
Here we are. Yandelavasa Gradenwi Stravenka. Ah!
And he punches him. And then it goes from there.
So, correction.
Yes. Hungarian another correction. It is tourist. The Hungarian phrase book.
that seemed either truncated or...
That's not the whole bit.
Yeah, because I remember there's also the drop your panties, Sir William. I will not wait till lunchtime. I think is in there.
It looked pretty continuous from what I was looking at. It's possible that it picks up later. I haven't watched
okay.
the whole thing.
Okay.
It jumps to a Bobby on the street, and he hears, and then he goes running off. And then, like you said, it goes to a courtroom. And
right.
There's more to it. I haven't watched the whole thing.
Yeah, that might have. Yeah, I just wanted to find it. Could have been a quote from the court. It might have been from the courtroom where they are quoting, like, your translation for this is this.
Right.
Yeah. And I want to say Eric Idle plays the guy who wrote the dictionary.
Got anything else, Mike? Andy?
No.
Are we ready to
yes.
dive into a little bit of this 2 weeks later? Give or take. Mm-hmm. Andy, you're up to speed, right?
I am.
We're just going to jump right on top of this.
The walking and the talking. Dead.
There we go.
This will be all...
I overlaid sounds.
Yeah, how about that?
Spoilers, everybody. We're going to talk about the end of season 4 of The Walking Dead.
This will be a shit ton of spoilers.
Spoilers. Stop listening now and just stop listening to the episode if you don't want to hear this, because this will be the end of it. I don't think we're going to talk about anything else after this.
Well, they won't know what's coming up next week.
That's all lies anyway.
Well, usually.
So, go. What do you got? Finale? Last few episodes?
Oh, yeah. Rick? That was probably the most awesome scene of the series so far.
Was which one?
The one where he bites the guy's jugular out of his neck and kills him.
That was pretty slick. That's from the comic.
That was one of those rare moments where I, you know, almost jump up from the couch and scream, "Yes! Yes! Yes!" Oh, I feel weird about cheering that on. Oh.
It's like when we were all so happy that Walter White was making such great meth. God, I hope he cooks up some awesome meth. Makes tons of money.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm there with you. It happens in the comic, but it's like just random road bandit guys.
Yeah.
We're in they here. Don't... It was actually some bad guys that you got to know a little mm-hmm. bit. So you kind of got to hate them a little.
The claimed
which made
gang.
It, yeah, which yeah. made it really cool that it was better than in the comic because you got to actually dislike these guys for a while.
Rick claimed his jugular.
Yes. Somebody should do a little bit with that. Or Rick gets up, spits it out, and goes, claimed. And then Daryl stomps the guy in the head, claimed. Yeah. And then Rick is stabbing the big fat guy 42 times. Claimed.
The big fat guy that tried to rape his son.
Yeah. That happens in the book, too. Doesn't actually rape, but the attempt is in the book, yeah. Ugly. Andy's awfully quiet.
I'm just listening.
You've had some strong opinions on Walking Dead in the past. How did you feel about
that? I have, and I continue to have.
Okay. Well, bring it on. What do you got? How'd you feel?
Oh, I thought that was there. I had been reading a lot of build up to it, so there were, you know, interviews with Kirkman and whatnot, where they're like, you know, Rick has learned a new way to kill people or to kill after the build up for the whole season. It's going to be very exciting. So, and not being a reader of the comics, I didn't know what to expect. So when I saw him do that, I was like, oh, so that must be what everybody was talking about. That was pretty awesome. There's every once in a while, not that it's a, you know, that awesome violence is necessarily, you know, woohoo, but every once in a while you get a kill that happens on TV that's just stuns you. You're just mm-hmm. like, oh my God. The last one.
And a little cathartic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even yeah. though it was so violent.
Yeah.
A little bit like, oh yeah, there we go. That, I feel okay with that.
Yeah.
One.
The previous time that I remember being that sort of just dumbfounded when I saw something like that happen, it was not The Walking Dead, it was on Spartacus when Spartacus cuts the guy's face off and the guy's brain falls out of the front of his head.
Wow.
Chops the front 20% of his skull off.
They're dueling
vertically.
The guy who was the actor was the guy who played the Mountain in season 2, I believe, of Game of Thrones.
When he always had his helmet on.
Because they've now had 3 different people play the Mountain.
Mike's
in
like,
Game
who?
Of Thrones. In Game of Thrones.
Big giant knight.
Huge guy.
I got that.
The guy is really big, and Spartacus was much smaller, and they're dueling. And then Spartacus like ducks underneath, and then just takes his sword, literally just goes straight up sideways with it, and just cuts the guy's face off. The face falls, and then as the guy's falling forward, you see his brain just slide out of the front of his skull.
Which and means it wasn't anchored into the spinal column very well.
No, but I was watching that, and I just was like, my mouth, and Heather was with me, and my mouth just went open. And I was just pointing at the TV going, oh. And so Rick's throat biting was...
His roadhouse moment.
Yeah. had a very, very similar reaction to that.
So if you're going to see any part of Roadhouse, do what
Roadhouse.
I did and accidentally turn to the channel that it's on right before that happens. Go, oh my God, and then turn it off. Because that's the only part of that movie apparently you need to see.
Oh.
And that's the only part of the movie I've ever seen.
Roadhouse.
Patrick Swayze, rest in peace.
You're talking about the scene at the side of the lake, right?
Yeah.
Jeez.
With the three fingers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, so jumping back from the season finale.
To the other best episode of
the Grove.
Season. Carol and Therese and the girls.
I totally called everything, and you can verify this with Allison.
Okay, I believe you.
Yeah, I called...
Look at the flowers.
Well, not that part, but... Oh. I called... I said, Mika's not making it out at the end of this episode. And I bet you it's at the hands of Lizzie. And then at some point later on, I said, Carol needs to put Lizzie down.
Yeah.
And all of those things happened.
Little dark. I was a little dark.
I was a little confused on that episode from the two sort of situations of the girls and, you know, who was stronger and weaker kind of in a sense of their ability to stand up against the walkers. They almost switched places when they were, and I thought it was really weird that when the walker came out of the house and surprised the two of them, that Lizzie was the one who went catatonic and Mika had to jump in and save her when everything that led up to that had Mika being the scared one,
it the other way.
And Lizzie being, you know, very strong. And that sort of, I thought, well, that's a little odd. And then they went into this whole, look at the flowers, Lizzie. And, you know, never once in the entire series had they done that on the show. It was like,
yeah, they did.
Wrong.
I don't remember seeing that ever before.
First or second episode, when Carol has to put down their dad after he's bitten in the prison, Mika tells Lizzie to look at the flowers.
Okay, I don't remember that at all. In fact,
it was a throwaway line, and nobody had any idea.
When we were watching it, we were like, do you ever remember that happening before? No, I have no idea. So it seemed like it just kind of popped up out of nowhere.
It was easily missed.
Okay. Maybe if they had made it a little more prevalent, it might have been.
They needed to do it one more time in between.
Yeah, it'd have been nice.
The two instances, but.
And maybe they didn't have to cut a scene.
Yeah,
true.
Who knows?
So that was just a little like.
It was one of those moments where Lizzie was holding Judith. Mm-hmm. So maybe she froze because she was holding the baby.
Could be.
Mika had to step up.
Mm-hmm.
But then everything kind of went downhill from there. Dead little sister, all bloody.
About to kill Judith.
Yeah. The line, Don't worry, she'll come back. I didn't hurt the brain.
Yep.
Right out of the books.
Yeah.
That scenario happens with different characters, but it happens in the books.
Now, from what they've been saying on The Talking Dead, I gather that that Mr. Gimple is doing more
Gimple loves the
directly
books.
Out of the books than had
bits and pieces at least. Past. Like the whole Terminus thing is very new.
Yeah, if I understand correctly, Terminus doesn't appear in the comics at all.
No, there's no such place as Terminus in the comics.
But as far as staging entire scenes to look like drawings.
And to use iconic lines.
Yeah. It was right after that episode, bits though, that I sat there and I thought something that sort of bothered me. But when I was talking to a person online who runs a Walking Dead blog, and she sort of corrected me, she said, well, that's just sort of how this one worked out. This is now the fourth... Lizzie and Mika represented the third and fourth little girls that this show has killed.
Sophia and...
The girl in the very first episode. Well, there's a zombie girl in the very first episode. Rick's first...
And I just thought, I don't
The one that was a torso?
No, this
the
is girl the one that Rick...
At the gas station?
Oh, yeah.
Rick, the first She's got time, fuzzy bunny slippers on. And
right. And I just thought, why is this show killing so many little girls? I've not seen a single primary... character little boy get slaughtered on the show. But now we've gone through four little girls.
The kid that
they're saving it for Carl.
Whatever his name was that was sort of Carl's friend that got sick. He got a fair bit of screen time at the beginning of the season and then got sick and had to be killed.
That he wasn't a little boy.
No, he was a teenager.
He was an adolescent.
He was 3 years older than Carl.
Yeah, he showed up again.
He was adolescent. We're talking prison flashbacks.
Okay, well,
he was playing with Legos. Bothered me, but when I brought it up to the person who runs this particular blog, and she just said, well, in all honesty, the casting call for these characters was girls or boys.
And
so
they just happened to
pick these two. So it could have easily been a boy had they found a male actor that they had liked for the role.
So it's just a situation of
I think
heads or tails coming up heads.
Yeah, it just
a bunch
sort
of
bothered me. That we've now killed four little girls. Not that I want to see him kill a bunch of little boys. I'm not saying that, but it's just like somebody might have some issues that they tried to rape
a little boy. Isn't that good enough for you?
I don't like that kind of stuff in movies or TV shows.
They didn't really make it completely clear that's what was
happening.
They
implied it strongly, but they didn't take it
fully
there. I
think they implied
there.
that it was about to happen, but I don't get the impression that it actually...
Well, it's the same way they kind of did with the governor and Maggie, where they kind of took you right to the brink, just enough to make you feel really uneasy about it, and then backed off, because it is cable TV.
I was under the impression that the governor did it just far enough to make her scared, but did not actually go through with it.
Okay, you just made me think of something.
That's entirely possible, but I don't know.
This is an aside from The Walking Dead. Is anyone watching The Americans?
No.
Speaking of things that you wouldn't think you'd see on cable TV.
Okay.
Wow. Last week's episode? This week's episode? 2 weeks ago's episode, which we just watched because my parents were here and blah, 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 didn't have time. So 2 episodes ago. Wow, lots of taking it from behind.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, really? Twice? 2 extended scenes?
On FX?
On FX. Yeah. It made everybody uncomfortable. We almost watched that episode with my parents. Thank God we didn't. We were like, hey, you want to watch an episode of The Americans? It's the show about these spies in 1980. And
So, I see the previews for it, and the previews look interesting, but I've not signed up to watch it.
No one should be allowed to do that to Felicity. back to The Walking Dead.
I always call that show Ridiculousity, so I
never watched it.
Yeah, I have been forced to see a few episodes here and there.
My coworker and I refer to her as Felicity. Like, we don't know her actual character's name on the show.
Oh, on The Americans.
On The Americans.
Oh, okay. Because the show Felicity, the character's name is
Felicity.
Felicity.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay.
No, on The Americans, we don't know what her name is, so we call her Felicity.
Okay. Fair enough.
So back to the Walking Dead, the very, very end, the Terminus bit.
Mm-hmm. With Tasha Yar.
Denise Crosby.
Who... I don't know how much exposure you guys get to it, but it was pointed out the similarities in the surroundings of Tasha Yar, Mary, and how she looks to the paintings that Michonne found in the house that she and Carl raided.
I saw that. Yeah.
So there were the sunflowers and paintings of sunflowers in the house, and then the picture that Michonne picks up that's a portrait.
That was in the paper that she
unwrapped. With a tight hair coming around, you know, braided and coming down one side of her head, spitting.
And her eyes are X'd out.
Yeah. Like a spitting image of Mary.
Really?
Yeah. Implying maybe that the people who lived there knew what was going on in Terminus. Somebody painted about it,
mm-hmm.
and then they all kind of lost their marbles and committed
killed
suicide.
Killed themselves in the obnoxiously painted room.
I was
room.
Thinking that Mary might have been a member of that house.
That's
and,
possible,
and left.
Too.
I wasn't sure. But that's an interesting take.
Some sort of relationship between the two, yeah. People online claim that they can clearly see human bones at one point when Rick and the group are running from the gunfire.
They pass a chained off area where there's a lot of bloody entrails, but it's not clear that it's actually human bones, but it is clearly a pile of entrails of some type. It's real quick. And there's another part of it as well where they're running along and they're passing other containers.
And there's people inside
screaming
for help.
And you can hear people banging and screaming. And that it was like...
They run past two stacked storage containers and there are people screaming inside.
Yeah. You hear banging and
help
screaming.
Help us! Help us! Bang, 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 bang. As they're running from the well-placed bullet fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
The suppressing... guiding fire.
Yeah. But the interesting parallel between that whole scene and Rick's earlier scene with Carl, where he's describing how to catch a bunny rabbit by funneling it through
to a very specific place
point until you catch him on the news.
And you hear them yelling, you hear somebody in the background very faintly yelling at one point, don't take them to B. Because if you notice, every door they go through
had a letter.
Has an A on it.
Yeah.
Specifically, the title of the episode is A.
Right. And the container they end up in is A.
Yeah.
And somebody yells, don't take them to B.
Huh. What's B?
B is a different container.
We're going to find out who or what is in B.
They probably organize the containers by letters, and they said, don't take them to container B, take them to container A.
Do you think Carol and Tyrese and the baby are in B, or are they yet to get there?
I don't believe Carol and Tyrese are at Terminus.
I don't think Beth's there either.
Yeah, who abducted Beth?
I'm not convinced Beth was abducted anymore.
I am. I think the funeral home was a trap.
Possible.
I think the funeral home was a deliberate trap set by somebody who I think that was probably being monitored either by video and or audio. It was set up to be too perfect of a place where somebody who was weary could set up and rest. They could eat. They could be clean. They could be safe. And they would let their guards down. And then this person then ran a bunch of walkers up to the front door, knew that the ensuing confusion...
Chaos, they could grab somebody.
That they could grab somebody, and I'm almost certain that they had their eye on Beth, grabbed her, and drove off.
Okay.
I think it's a deliberate... Trap.
Alternate idea, okay. And this is building a little bit from my knowledge of the comic, is that Beth ends up with some... that because it was odd that her backpack or bag or whatever was on the road. Daryl finds that. Like, you would think that if she went with somebody willingly, she would take her stuff with her.
Right.
Even if she couldn't go back for Daryl, or if the person convinced her that she couldn't or whatever.
Well, but, and she took away very...
He peeled off pretty quickly. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I'm not convinced. Maybe they'll have something. We'll see. I don't even... There was no Beth in the final episode other than the flashback, so who knows?
Kirkman has said she'll be back in season 5.
Right. I'm going to guess that, here's my prediction. Carol, Tyrese, and Judith are not at the prison, or not at Terminus yet. They're going to come rolling in at the beginning of season 5. Carol is going to catch on immediately to what's going on, much like Rick did, but she's not the hothead that Rick is.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to get Tyrese to play along with things for the time being. And try to figure out if anybody else is there, because they're going to have seen the Maggie's signs and Glenn's sign, you know, markings to go to Terminus.
They're going to know they're there.
Somebody's there. The people at Terminus are going to say, oh, they've got a baby. We should be nice to them. There's going to be that added little, like, you know, we can't take this mother away from her child.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not horrible people. They just eat other people to survive.
That hasn't been confirmed.
Oh, whatever. It doesn't need to be confirmed. The chapel they go through with all the candles burning, what was on the floor? The names of all the people they've eaten.
Actually,
I guarantee you that's what that is.
No.
Well, where's that coming from?
Kirkman and Gimple have said that that's a memorial to the people that they've lost.
That's what I got from it. No, their own people.
There was something terrible has happened to Gareth's group over the time period, and that is their memorial to the people they've lost.
Where did you get this thing that they're eating people?
Because on the wall it also says, you know, never trust, never again. Us first, always.
Yeah.
We first, always. So that's sort of a shrine.
Well, what are they doing with all the people in the cattle cars, Mike?
Well, they could be eating them.
These are cannibals, Mike. The first thing they do is want to see if you're going to eat human flesh off of Denise Crosby's barbecue. Make them a plate. Don't fix them a plate. Make them a plate.
Mm-hmm.
They use that specific line. Oh, yeah. There's entrails over on the side. Okay, I've heard theories that they were honoring the people that they... It's some weird, you know, in weird, some weird way, they honored the people that they killed.
What I had read was that it was a memorial to their own, to the people that they lost along the way that have resulted in them becoming who they are.
So you don't think they're eating people?
I didn't think they were eating people.
Okay.
It hasn't been confirmed because it's come up a number of times, even an interview, and I know the cast isn't always necessarily privy to what's going on. So I mean, even Andrew Lincoln said, "Oh, is that really one of the theories?" I've not even heard that before.
He's an actor,
but then he also said, "But I have a flip phone, so I don't spend any time online."
Now that's
tastes like chicken.
That's my thoughts though. Is that them's is cannibals?
Wow. Okay.
You didn't pick up on any of that.
It's just
that didn't strike you as
you,
a possibility?
You forget that when I watch TV and movies, I just sit back and enjoy and turn my brain off.
I allow myself
to be entertained.
And I might be wrong. The whole internet might be wrong.
Yeah, it was an awfully large group of people at Terminus. I mean, resorting to cannibalism and regardless of what gets you to that point, it's still something that a lot of people would have ultimately, you know. So everybody's losing so much of their humanity, but the whole Terminus sequence is an awful lot of people who are extremely coordinated and all seem to be on the same page, which seems to be a little unusual when you get that many people together for everybody to be on exactly the same page and everybody willing to.
We haven't seen that yet in all of these groups
as,
of people.
As you've,
right.
as
not
you've
seen
stated.
We've not seen any group of people that has been so cohesive.
Yeah.
True, but as you stated... According to what that little temple area is about, right. is they all went through something terrible together.
Absolutely.
May have solidified their
lifestyle.
Yeah. As such. So,
generally speaking, you always have the extremes. You have people who are extremely into something and people who are less into it, but they say they're into it in order just to mix with the group.
Well, and it's also, it's becoming more and more, what will you do to survive?
Right.
What will these people, even if there's a few people amongst the Terminus folk that are like not down with doing the things that the other Terminus people are, they just want to live.
And we know at this point, Rick knows what human flesh tastes like.
Well, he knows what tasty neck flesh tastes like. He doesn't know what the meaty thigh flesh tastes like. Or
yeah, and if you watch Talking Dead, you know that it tastes like chicken.
Yes, it was.
I had to sort of chuckle because when Mary was, and... Craig, you'll get this. Mike, you will not. When Mary was serving up the plate and there was the little, you know, sausage links or whatever on there, it immediately threw me back to Ramsay Snow torturing Theon and holding up the little piece of sausage and waving it at him.
Yeah.
Right after
he's cutting it up and Theon's looking at him and he goes, I don't know, pork sausage.
And he like holds it like this.
Wobble, wobble, wobble.
Because he had cut the guy's wiener off.
Right, because there's wieners everywhere in Game of Thrones.
Well, no, but he actually cut it off.
That I have heard.
There's one less now.
Yeah.
So he's eating this, and he's sort of taunting Theon, and he holds up this sausage and goes, ooh, with this goofy look on his face. And it just, that scene and Mary handing the food to people with the little sausage on there, I kind of was like hoping Mary would pick one up and go, woo. It's some kind of goofy crossover. Somebody online should make a video.
Maybe.
All right, are we done?
I think so.
Andy, thanks again.
Thank you
for swinging by. You enjoyed the Nerdburger mug by putting your Starbucks
plastic container
into the mug.
Well, it became a coaster because I didn't want to get a ring. I didn't want to get a ring of, because, you know, this was
cold. Oh, right, Mike, so by the way, I got Nerdburger coasters. Yes.
You did not.
I did, right? Look right there.
Oh.
Jeez. Wow. I really got you on that. I'm talking about the mug. Anyway. Where can they find us, Mike?
Well, I wouldn't surprise me if you just keep ordering things with the old logo on them. Look at all these vintage...
No, I'm done.
...retro Nerdburger logo things we have.
No.
They can find us at nerdburgershow.com, at nerdburgershow on the Twitters, Facebook, and email us nerdburgershow@gmail.com.
On the next episode of Nerdburger, Mike and Craig perform the pilot episode of the sitcom they're pitching to NBC. It's titled, Tastes Like Chicken. We don't know what it's about yet. We'll write something before next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, okay, thanks.
If you wanted to put the links on the website, those are okay. Those are the articles. On the.
I appreciate that, and I meant that everyone can still hear us talking.
Oh, really?